having a wonderful time. Huh? And I'm so glad Brother Magonia just exhorted there for a little while. Amen. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed Brother Miller. Oh, I loved that. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, Brother Glenn Shears would get up and preach. He'd come down from Oklahoma and preach in our little old church. My wife would get on me and say, "Charles, quit laughing. He'll think he's laughing at you." I was so thrilled with what he was preaching. I just sat there and laughed. You know, I wasn't laughing at him. But I enjoyed that. And when he was preaching about tithing, I thought about hearing a Baptist preacher on the radio years ago. And he said on the radio he decided to preach on tithing to his church. So he said, "I got up with my green suit on." And said, "For 10 Sundays, I wore my green suit every Sunday, that 10 Sundays. Yeah. And he said, "I know it's in the will of the Lord, because on the 10th Sunday, somebody got saved. Yeah. Me preaching on tithing." So I just thought about that, and I thought of something else, and I don't know if I can remember just exactly, but Brother Dexter World, you know, he was a soul saver, but he was a person who didn't believe in tithing. Amen. And Brother Vince Wilson was a close friend of his, and Dexter could win most arguments because he's sharp. He knew how to argue, you know. He could argue against tithing and convince you just about his right. He said, "But Brother Vince Wilson," said Brother Vince, "just when I got up walking the floor, when we got talking, Brother Vince just sat there and talked to him, said, just smile and close his eyes like he's asleep. Said, I just walked the floor and put in my argument. When I got through and wore myself out, he just opened his eyes and go in on me again, amen. Yeah. And when I got up and started walking the floor, he just closed his eyes and go to sleep." But one night, he said, one night the Lord came to him and brought 11:42, Luke, I know telling how many times he read it, but for the first time he saw that Luke 11:42, and he said, I come as near backsliding over that to realize how wrong I was. Said, I just couldn't grasp it. Finally said, "Lord, all right, Lord, I see it. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to pay it. Just don't have me tell anybody else about it." You know what I mean? Because he'd always argue that other way. But he said, the next Sunday, his pastor in church, he taught this class, and for no reason at all, somebody raised his hand and said, "Pastor, how do we believe on tithing?" Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. Amen. Yeah. And not one other thing, because I don't get too wrapped up this, but I just enjoyed it. But we were poor people. My mother, when she washed, took in washings and ironings, and she wasn't doing that just to help support the family. She was also helping to pay for a little house we'd bought. But Mom believed in tithing. Dad didn't believe in tithing. And it seemed like everything Dad touched went the wrong way. But so I picked that up from her. But when I got in the service, and I had a wife and a baby and a rent of $60 a month, had to pay for my lights and water, had to buy my gas to drive my car over to the fort and back where I worked when I was in the service, amen, and go to church. And then what little we had left, we go to the commissary and buy, amen. And I tell folks that I was so hungry for meat. One time we got enough money to buy an oxtail. You know what an oxtail is? Well, just look that cow going south and go far as back as you can. That's where you're eating, right there. And so, amen, I never will forget how good that tasted. Oh, I thought that's the best meat I ever ate in my life. I'm telling you the truth. But I just finally decided, I got into that situation. And I'd been drafted in the Army, and I had debts when I went in the Army. So I finally decided I just couldn't pay tithes. I'll never will forget, I came home one day, and my wife's crying. She said, "I don't know what you're going to do with your $36, but I know what I'm going to do with my $90. I'm going to pay tithes." All right. And I said, "Well, if you're going to pay tithes, I'm going to pay tithes." Hallelujah. And I don't know how we made it, but we made it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm just telling you, you know, you don't take long when you're paying $60 a month for rent, you know, and buying gas, even though gas is cheap, and you're paying for your water and your light bill and you know, putting a little in the church. Well, all right. Amen. That's enough of that. But thank the Lord. He helped us through it. Now, today I want to do a little different. I want Brother Bob to come up and help me get. Yeah, he's up there already. We're going to have a little Baptist Sunday school, okay? Amen. You know, in the Baptist Sunday school, and by the way, I sure like Catholics. I didn't realize how well I liked them until I heard Brother Begonia. Amen. Praise the Lord. Begonia? Well, I put him with Brother Begonia at Joplin, so I'll just say Begonia. Hey, Begonia. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I heard that, and I knew I liked some of them. I liked Brother Joy's wife. Amen. So, amen. He does too, he said. Anyway, so we're going to have a little Baptist here. And if you got your Bibles, open them to the 19th chapter. And I'm going to read a verse, and then Brother Bob and you all are going to read a verse, okay? We may read it two or three times. I just feel like doing this, and so I hope you won't mind. Amen. All right. Now I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Stand if you're able. Stand if you would, please. And I'm going to read the 9th verse, then you and Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And if you don't feel like anything, you know, just don't, but I'm just doing this. I just want to. All right. 9th verse of the 19th chapter. I'm going to read the 9th verse. Then I want you and Brother Bob, he's your leader. You know, did you ever go to the Baptist churches? I did when I was a little boy. And that leader would get up and he'd read a verse, and then you read a verse of your Sunday school lesson until you read it. That's the way we did it. So I want to do that today, amen. I'm going to read the 9th verse, and you all read the 10th. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Let me read that verse again. You read yours then again. And it saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day.
Thank you,
opportunity to speak your word one more time.
Thank you for
God,
Charles.
I pray that you'd help us right now. Get us through the service, if you could, Lord, and help us to say something that would help somebody, Lord. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost anoint this service. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I just looked at this verse back in January. I think it was. And I wrote in my notes, if there are churches that are followers of Jesus Christ, you will find an active work of prophecy there. If there are churches that are followers of Jesus Christ, you will find an active work of prophecy there. Notice what I said? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Huh? Amen. I'm not going to preach on that, but I just wanted to give that to you because I wanted to. I hope the Lord will help me. And you pray for me, because when I leave here, I've got 12 hours at least to drive. And by the way, don't forget our evangelist. I don't know I don't, Brother Bagona, he may be evangelist, I know, but don't forgive him. Don't forget him. Amen. If you got a little extra, or if you just want to or can, slip him a few dollars. Amen. And I'm not in that class. I'm not an evangelist. I'm an old man on Social Security. All right. So don't worry about me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And besides, they took me up an offering every day. So, but take care of our evangelists. Amen. We need them. We need them. Praise the Lord. Go with me to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. I'll do quite a bit of reading because I don't have any notes. And I'll repeat myself quite a bit too. But I want to say again, I certainly have enjoyed the service. Might have been good. Brother Dykes preached so good yesterday, and then today, Brother Miller, I thought, how refreshing. I wouldn't even just go on and on and on. I just so refreshing. Amen? And Brother Kevin Lloyd and Brother Joy that preached the night services and Brother Meekum, you know, it's just all good. And I thought Brother Kevin Lloyd preached good last night. I really did. Didn't you? Now, you may think, well, he didn't preach. But he was in charge of the service. He is up here with that mic. He was exhorting. He was preaching to us. And he really did good last night because he had the mind of the Lord and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And what great results we had. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just going to read you some scripture. I may read quite a bit. The 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. And again, I thank the Lord for everything God does for me. And I thank the Lord that he has good men. And I'm not, and I, like I said, I'm not a person that can analyze everything. I don't have the mind to do it. But lots of times the Lord just helps me. Like I was preaching on that mystery that Paul got that was 2,000 years old. You know where I picked that up? Sitting in Sunday school class. Brother Ronnie Williams was teaching at Pittsburgh, Kansas. And they come across that mystery in Ephesians. I said, whoa, wait a minute. And boy, did that stir my soul. Amen. I'm glad to have teachers and preachers, amen, that stir you. All right? And the Bible said in the 18th chapter, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, that's Abraham, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them. Now, notice I said stood by him. In other words, they were stationed. They weren't coming up the road. They were just right there. And they were out there a little ways, but they were just stationed there. Remember, the Bible told Moses to go stand at the brink of the River Nile, you know, and meet Pharaoh there, and they told him to go stand in the Mount Sinai. Amen. That's what they were just there. And the Bible said when he saw him, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I've found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort you your hearts after you have passed on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou said. And Abraham hastened. He ran to meet them, then he hastened unto the tent of the Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, and knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Remember, we got three men. We want three cakes. Amen. And Abraham ran into the herd and ran into the herd. He hastened. He ran. He hastened. And he ran to the herd and fetched a calf and tender and good and gave it unto a young man and hastened to dress it. And then it talks about how he fixed it and how they cooked it and how they, you know, and all about that the Lord said Sarah was going to have a child and what have you. And all this. But here's. And I want to go on over where they went over towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them. That's the 16th verse. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great nation, a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him that he will command his children, his household after him. They will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which cometh to me, and if not, I will know. Now, I think that's far enough to read there as far as that's concerned, but I just want you to notice this. Got to think about this. You know, the Lord speaks there in the first person. Shall I hide? It's me that's going to judge this. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Well, who was that? You know, just think about that. Who is this that's coming along, this Jehovah, that's coming along and says, I'm going to check on their sin. I'm going to be the one that makes the decision. You know, I really don't think he's that one that they're preaching about now that, you know, he didn't get, really wasn't the Lord. He wouldn't have been Christ if it hadn't been for the word coming to him. You know, they teach that now. He wouldn't have been, one fellow said anybody could have been Jesus if the word would have come down. Well, you know, because they say in the beginning, you know, in the beginning, amen, he was the beginning of creation of God. Well, he was a beginner. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, you know, and so I read this. And I got to think about this kind of amusing thing. Amen. The Lord goes back to heaven. The angels go back to heaven. And they're visiting, maybe together and talking. I know they don't do that, but they're talking about that going down to see Abraham. And the Lord said, did you see the way that man scurried around, that 99-year-old man? I mean, said he was on the move, you know. I'll just think about that. But anyway, that's all I want to talk to you about that. But I just want to read that to you, where Abram just ran and hastened, right. And he made three measures of meal. Took three measures of meal and made those cakes. Now, if you don't mind, go with me to a chapter that you're familiar with, and that's the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Praise the Lord. And it'll take me a little while. I don't know if I may never get into it. Amen. But I'll tell you, in case I don't, I've got a hot dog with mustard and onions waiting on me, and I'll eat that going down the road. So if I told him, I said, if you'd have said turkey, I said, not interested. If you'd said ham, not interested. If you said ribs, well, I didn't say what to say. Anyway, but I love hot dogs. Amen. I don't eat very much when I'm on the road because I get sleepy. So I just eat very little, just take a little sip of pop once in a while. But anyway, amen. But anyway, so let's go to the 13th chapter, book of Matthew, and I don't know how I got off on that. But I like the 13th chapter of book of Matthew because Jesus tells them several things, and I'm going to just back up a little. I'm going to go forward a little bit over to where when he told them all this, he said to them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. And I read this, and I don't know that it's so, but I think it is. Amen. He didn't mean, do you understand fully? But they tell me the Greek meant, do you get the drift? In other words, do you just kind of see what's going on? And they said, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, every public instructor, which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Amen. He said, if you just get the drift, amen, there will be other things revealed to you. If you'll just kind of get on my, how do you see it? If you'll just kind of get the drift. They didn't understand all about it, but they said, yeah, I kind of see what you're talking about. So I want to just use that, but I want to back up and talk to you. Of course, you know what's there. You know about how it gives the parable of the sower, and he tells us, you know, about the stony ground. Brother Randy talked about that yesterday. Amen. And some didn't have root in themselves. And, you know, some got the thorns and what have you. Amen. And Mark says in his scripture over there, he says, these are they. So it's not only the word coming to us, but it's a word working through us. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. And so some of us, amen, they get on stony ground. We don't have any depth in ourselves. We don't last long. Some of us, we're drifted. We're pulled apart by the things of this world. The world has to offer them. But then it says that some fell on good ground. You know, and it brought forth, amen. Here it says 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. I know it's there, but I remember Mark says 30, 60, and 100. But I want to just say this. Amen. Just saying this and passing on. And the fact that this, talking about this place and how we are. Amen. And he said, and now, it wasn't the ground's fault that they didn't bring forth 100-fold. It wasn't the ground's fault. And it wasn't the seed's fault. So whose fault was it? It was the environment's fault. Amen. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. But you can only water a plant so long. You know, pretty soon you got to trust that the whatever's coming. Amen. I remember we used to put them old tomato plants out and, you know, put the cabbage out. You know, and take that cup and that bucket and you go down through there watering. Pretty soon you have to give up and let them do what they're going to do. And so we can see here that it wasn't the ground's fault. And it wasn't the plant's, the seed's fault. But it was the environment, amen. Praise the Lord. You might have a field of wheat out here. It may be good ground, good seed growing good. But if you have a hailstorm, it'll reduce your crop. You know what I'm saying? You know, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached down there in Samaria, the whole city turned out and got saved. Wonderful. But in that same book of Acts, when Paul preached on Mars Hill, you know, amen. Paul finally got through preaching. It says, howbeit certain men cleaved unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Very few people got saved there. You see what I'm saying? Some 30-fold, some 60-fold. So it's not the seed and it's not the ground, but it's the environment that would make the difference. And you may go into a church place and God may send you to pastor a church. Amen. You may work hard and diligent there. At the end of maybe 5 years or 10 years, you may not see a lot of people. But, amen, it's not your fault and it's not the ground's fault. It's because of what's around you. Amen. You come down here in the hills, the mountains of Virginia. People down here, when I first came down here, I thought everybody in this whole country is holiness. You go in the stores, there was homeless people running the stores. Go up the street, you met homeless people walking down the street. Everywhere you look, they're just holy people, amen. I mean to tell you what, and you can see why that you can have great revivals here because there's so many praying people around you, amen. Praise the Lord. But some of the places Paul went, he could have a great meeting. Other places he went, he had a great riot. But it was still, Paul would still say, we're a sweet savior, amen. We're a sweet savior unto God. No matter if we have many or few, we're still a sweet savior. Now, I'm not telling you that we ought to appreciate, laziness. I'm not talking about laziness. But if you're doing your best, you're praying and fasting, seeking God, and you're where God wants you, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Even if L.L. Collins says it can't be done, it can be done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love Brother L. We're both from Fulton County, Arkansas. But anyway, look at this. But I didn't really know what I want to preach on. I just wanted to say, just in passing by, amen, that you have to realize sometimes you're in a place where the environment, amen, will reduce the harvest. You just have to realize that. And sometimes you can pray it through, and sometimes you won't be able to. But you know what? I think about a preacher, and I've told about him a lot of times. Amen. I went down and preached a revival. Felt God woke him up. He's in Granite City, Illinois. Woke him up in the morning and told him to go to a place in Mississippi and hold a revival. He went down there and called the pastor and got a revival. Went down and preached for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, amen. And had one drunkard get saved. Come in with gum boots on. Amen. Come in there. And they told him. They told him. They said, well, he'll get saved but every time you have church. And he'll get drunk just as soon as you leave. Amen. That's just the way it's been. And so, but he remembered that man's name. He remembered that man's name. Amen. And years later went by, never heard any more from him. And one day, and he picked up a newspaper from somewhere, and he read in the paper, and it told about a new church that was being dedicated in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And the man's name that had built that church is unheard of things, that he built a church that would seat 1,000 people, amen. It was unheard of in Pentecostal circles. But his name was Guy Walsh. That's the man who got saved out of Mississippi.
What about that?
See what I'm saying? One man. One man. Hallelujah. Amen. Poor harvest. Amen. But wait. Amen. You haven't seen the results of it. Yes, yet. Amen. I've heard Guy Walz preach. I've sat under his ministry. Very, very well known. Very well read man. Amen. He was a man who could teach and preach. And I listened to him. I sat under him. Amen. And even after he was in the nursing home and had Alzheimer's, Brother Gene Huff went up to Goshen, Indiana, and he was preaching up that pastor, and that man asked him, said, have you ever heard of Guy Walz? And he said, yes, I know him personally. Amen. I know him. Amen. He said, well, I don't know him, but he's here in a nursing home. And he said, you want to go out and see him? He said, well, I'd like to. So he took him out there. He said, never been out there myself, but he thought he might know him. And so he went out there, and he introduced himself. Guy Walz didn't know him from nobody. Amen. He asked Guy Walz about his library. He had a great library. Guy Walz didn't tell him. He found out that Guy Walz had trusted, his mind got bad, and he trusted another preacher, and that other preacher had stolen his library, had a great library. Amen. So there he sat. Didn't know G, didn't know anybody. He said, Brother Walz, said, I remember when you came to Frankfort, Kentucky. That's the capital, I believe. Amen. You came to Frankfort, Kentucky, and I remember when you came down there and preached. And Alvin Barkley preached also at the Capitol. He was a vice president at the time. And he said, Alvin Barkley spoke, brother, and said, you preach. And he said, you preached on the life of Moses. And he said, when I said that, his head came up. And he said, the life of Moses, the life of Moses. And he said, for 5 minutes, he laid out his entire, amen, outline. Laid out his entire outline on the life of Moses. And then we're back in that strange world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder the Bible says, be not weary and well done. For a new season we'll reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful to know? Amen. That person you're getting saved may have prayed to you no tell how many times. But if he keeps on, amen, he'll be like the man that wrote Amazing Grace. Amen. Pretty soon it'll get right. Hallelujah. It'll get right. Well, that isn't really what I don't know. I ain't got time. I've got to get through this, so I'm the one that's going to have to drive now. You're just missing dinner, okay? And I get my hot dog before you do. All right, but here's what I want to get to. From talking about that, then he goes to a parable in the 24th verse. And he said, here, another parable put it forth, and he talked about the kingdom of heaven is like a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said to them, an enemy hath done this. And you know all about that. They said, well, we gathered them up and said, nay, let them rot together. And the harvest, you know, they'd be able to separate them. But then he put forth another parable. And the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. Now, I want you to just look here at the church. This is the progression or digression of the church. Amen. First, it gets the tares, but then it gets large enough. It gets influential enough that every bird can light there, amen. They can lodge there. What are the birds doing? They're there to get the seed, amen. That's what they're after. They're not there to be helped. It's an unnatural growth, amen. It's an unnatural growth, and it's birds there that is to destroy the seed. That's what they're there for, hallelujah. And then he puts forth another parable, and he spake of them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. There is Abraham's 3 measures of meal. Right there. And that's the direction the church is going in. It's getting to the place where it's going to destroy Abraham's meal. Huh? That meal represented fellowship with God. It represented the fact that God was going to give him a son. You remember, I told you, amen, that the Bible said Christ was a seed. That's what the ultimate end of it was. And you remember I told you this, but you see, it has to work this way. Amen. Isaac was a natural birth and a miracle birth. Amen. Jesus was a natural birth and a miracle birth. Amen. They had to go together. That's the way God had it planned. You know what I'm saying? But here I can see that what is happening here is the fact that, amen, this meal, suddenly, what does leaven always represent? It represents evil. Now, you may not go along with me this, but I feel like this is telling us what is going on in the church world today. I'm not talking about homeless churches. I'm not talking about a remnant. I'm talking about in the church world today. And they are actually, amen, if you pardon me for saying it, they're slowly removing Christ out of their vocabulary. Amen. They're slowly moving him away. They're getting rid of him. Amen. He's an offense. Other religions get upset when we talk about him. You remember I told you about Mr. Stanley's son, amen, that has a church in Atlanta, I think, that said we need to get rid of the Old Testament. Then we need to get rid of any doctrine, amen, that causes disunity. If it doesn't bring unity, we need to get rid of them. One of the things that is offensive to a lot of people is that we believe Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, amen. Praise the Lord. And so we can see here that slowly it's going down the way. Amen. It was Mr. Holstein, they said, I believe I wrote it down someplace. He said, amen, if Peter and Paul lived today, they'd have to be careful how they wrote the gospel. They couldn't say what they said about homosexuals. And so we just keep moving that word out and then moving it out. Did you ever wonder what it'd be like to have a Bible that didn't have Jesus Christ in it? I read of a Bible. I don't know, Brother Mike, if you ever read of it. There was a Bible they called the Wicked Bible. Did you ever read about it? They called it the Wicked Bible. You know why? In God's thou shalt not, they forgot to put the not in the seventh commandment. Hallelujah. And it said thou shalt and said thou shalt. They called it the Wicked Bible. Well, I believe if it was on sale today, it'd probably outsell all the rest of them. People left to know that was there.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
But I'm just simply telling you that they, you know, but here, and I'm not doing very good at this, but here's what I want to say to you. I feel like I just caught this to my mind. Amen. These three measures of meal, all of a sudden they show up, and there's in Jesus' parable telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like, and he goes from a place where first there's a mixture of the tares and the wheat. Then that goes to the place where it grows and becomes big. They build their great cathedrals. They have their great meetings. They have a great time. But all the time they're doing this, amen, they're getting rid of the seed. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, amen, you know, you get a man up. You ever hear a man preach on the radio? And I like all the helps I can get. I really do. And I like different things. Look at every, but I look at some translations, what's supposed to be a translation, and I call them paraphrasals. Amen. If they help the King James understand, I'm fine for them. But if they take away from it, I'm against it, totally against it. That's just the way I feel about it, amen? But so, amen, but you'll hear a person get up, and it's now the King James says this, and now the New Universal, now the Living Bible, and he keeps on until you really don't know what he's saying. You have no idea what's going on. By the time he gets through, amen, nothing is black, nothing is white. We're out there in a gray area. Amen. Can you imagine a world that gets to the place where the church finally gets the word? It's comfortable without Christ. Comfortable without Jesus Christ. Think about it. Amen. If it comes to that, it looks like we're working that direction. If it comes to that, amen. Moses did all the pilgrimage in vain. Amen. He said, a prophet, like unto me, said the Lord God, I raised up him, showed you here. And Peter put that with it. And he said, and every soul that heareth not will be cut off. Amen. So if there is no Jesus Christ, Moses wasted his time. Amen. I know, I hear people talking about, well, what we need to take out of it is, you know, his sayings are so good. They have such good meaning to them. Amen. But they want to get rid of him because that way they don't have to worry about Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only their Savior, but also their judge. And I want to tell you, my friend, whether you like it or not, the Bible is not only full of promises and gifts of life, but it also contains a judgment in it. Amen. Amen. God didn't come down and have this Bible written. I can't remember now, but I think what is over something like over 1,500 years, 40-some different authors. Am I right on that? Amen. He didn't move on these people and them correlate everything. Some of them never seen each other, didn't know anything about them. I think it's written on 3 different continents. Amen. All this done. He didn't do that just so we could look at it and say, well, that's very good suggestions. Amen. But if you take the judgment away, all you've got is just good advice. And that's what the world wants. They want to take and teach the Bible, but they want to leave Jesus out. You remember I told you about Brother Singleton? He was a chaplain over the Chrysler Corporation, or part of the Chrysler Corporation, not over it, but part of the Chrysler Corporation. And all the chaplains of the Chrysler Corporation had a meeting. They had to get together, and the leader, the president of the chaplains, came to him, and they said, he said to Brother Singleton, I think it was the invocation, benediction, which it doesn't matter, but he said, I want to tell you something. When you pray, you can't mention Jesus. This was an Assemblies of God preacher that told him that. And Brother Singleton said, if I can't mention Jesus, then I'm not praying. I don't blame him, do you? Hallelujah. I listened to something the other day. I was listening to, I just got on part of it, but I think it was maybe the dedication of the new embassy there in Jerusalem. Did they have a dedication of that? Did John Hagee pray? John Hagee prayed, all right. Did you hear him pray? I listened to him, God, God, God. And I thought, how's he going to close this? And when he got down to the close, he said, and everybody said, hallelujah. And everybody said, hallelujah. But he eliminated Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's danger signals going at us that we want to remove Christ from the Bible. Amen. We want to make him nothing more than just another great teacher. But we're going to mix it all together where God is just God, whether it's a Muslim or whatever it might be. But I'm telling you, my Lord told me that's the way it's going to be. Amen. He took it and hid that 3 measures of wheat, that fellowship that Abraham had, the covenant that Abraham had, the promises that Abraham had, amen, the son that Abraham had, and that other son that was born later on called Jesus Christ, which was to take the throne of David and be King of kings and Lord of lords, amen. We're taking him out of our vocabulary, and we're going to do away with him because of the fact we want it just like we want it for this world. And the Bible said that this woman took and hid 3 measures of a meal into that leaven. And when she got through shaking that around and putting it in the rest of the world, it looked nothing like it did when Abraham served it in the tent there on the plain of Mamre. I believe. Now, you say what they say. Amen. But I believe, I may be wrong about this, but I believe that Jesus Christ revealed this to me to let you know. Amen. We have a thing working in our country. Amen. It's to destroy. The whole purpose is to take Christ out of our concept as a Savior and the one to lead us and to come and get us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got some stuff later, but to look at this and to realize, and you know, I've got Mr. Hagee's book. I read his book. And he takes the advice of a Jewish rabbi. While I'm on that, he has the advice of a Jewish rabbi that studied for 6 years and finally wrote his book that Jesus was just a young Pharisaic rabbi, nothing more. Amen. And that Jew promoted the idea. Amen. The reason Hitler was so bad was because he went to a Lutheran school. Amen. And I want to tell you, and Mr. Hagee said it, but I want to tell you that's absolutely not right. Amen. It is not right. Amen. I have a very poor library, But in our library, I have letters written by Hitler himself. Amen. And he had plans. After he got rid of the Jews, he was going to get rid of the church. Amen. He made it concordant with the Catholic Church because it was to his advantage. Amen. But then later on, the Pope even complained because they came over in Italy and they were destroying some of those Catholics. Hitler's army was destroying Catholics and so many of them that the Pope had to complain about it. I'm telling you, my friend, amen, he didn't intend for the church to get away. He was like any other person that arises and he's the God of all others. Amen. He can't stand Jesus Christ between him and the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm just telling you, and Mr. Hagee said, you know, that Hitler learned to hate the Jews in the Lutheran schools, but that is a lie. He did not learn to hate the Jews. He hated the Jews, and I remember reading in one place, a little book I've got, he said, I had to tell it a long time, said I had the hardest time to turn in the German minds against the Jews. Amen. He turned them out. He didn't do it because of the church. He did it because he hated those people. They represented something he didn't want. And that was God, amen, that had chosen them and called them, amen. And he had a son named Jesus Christ that was born in there, amen. And he was God. He was Emmanuel, God with us. I'm talking to you this morning to tell you, look at this, look at the progression, the digression, you have to say, from the mixture to the fact that finally we start destroying the word and we get the word destroyed so much that all of a sudden Jesus Christ isn't relevant anymore. I hope you can see that. I hope you can see that. I'm not, you know, I'm like I say, amen. I realize men are deceived. But listen, the thing that turned the world upside down was that doctrine. He's risen. He's a Savior. Amen. That's the thing that, you know, and that's what they said, you intend to make bring this man's blood upon us. Amen. They hated those apostles. They died. Because they believed Jesus Christ to be the Savior. Hallelujah. They died because they believed that he was God Almighty. Hallelujah. And he was there, amen, and came to live and die that we might be saved. Amen. I know I'm not preaching this well, but I'm trying to tell you this morning, amen, look at the digression of the church and realize and say to yourself, it's what was foretold 2,000 years before it happened. When you hear them on the radio or you hear them praying and there's no mention of Christ, and they just walk around him and only use his sayings or whatever. Amen. When you listen, just look at yourself and look at the Bible and say, God's son said, this is the way it's going to be. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Did you ever read, in the book of 1 John? Just a few scriptures in there. Amen. Hallelujah. Little children, it's the last time, as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. You know, John, I'm sure he figured those, what, how they pronounce that word, brother? Lord, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, the Gnostics. Those Gnostics, those fellows said, oh, we're too smart for that. A virgin conceived and had a child born. We believe in Jesus, but we'll accept him on our terms. He wasn't Christ until the dove came down on him. And then just before he was crucified, the dove left him. And then later come back to it, or he came out and was Savior. Amen. They just explained it all away. And others, part of those Gnostics said, he's just imagination. He wasn't really real. They just thought he was real. Amen. No wonder whenever Paul was fighting that in Colossians in the 22nd chapter, 9th verse, he said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you remember what John said there, the first chapter of John, I think the 3rd verse. What about, amen, he was in the world, he was not in with, not anything made that is made. They fought that. They could see that coming, amen. And we in our lifetime, they're just graduating a little bit. We got holiness preachers that doesn't really believe Jesus is a divine. They believe, as far as deity, I should say, they don't feel like he's God manifested flesh. They bring him down. I'll tell you, my friend, I don't care if it's a holiness pulpit or if it's in a worldly pulpit, I'm not going to lower Jesus Christ to be in what is just to be a part of man's mind. Amen? Little children, last time you heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. Amen. Brother Mike Roberts, you may have somebody saved in your church, called to preach, and later leave you and take up this doctrine. Amen. It could happen to any of us. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Just, oh yeah, I got saved. Yeah, that's where I got saved in the Holy Church, but I didn't continue there. It's like one fellow told a friend of mine, they pastor a church in the same place, and he went to OBI, and he told this pastor, friend of mine, he said, oh yeah, I went to OBI, but said, I preached what they promoted, but said, I never did believe it. So he's pastoring, you know, assembly that's worldly. Hallelujah. They went out from us. All right. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I'm not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written to you concerning that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you. No, that's not talking about, no pastor can teach me. He's telling me, amen, that Holy Ghost. You don't have to have anybody tell you about Jesus and his deity. You got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That proves he lived and died and said he's going away. Amen, going to send the Holy Ghost back. Amen, that anointing lets you know, hallelujah, you are the children of God. You've been born by and washed by the blood, and you have the present. Jesus Christ said he'd pray the Father to give us another comforter, but then he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come. You wonder why the people have a hard time getting through the Holy Ghost, because that's the one thing that's a buffer zone between you and unbelief. Hallelujah. It will guide you and lead you. He said, the anointing which you have received. It's not talking about, amen, your pastor can't tell you nothing. It's not talking anything about that. It's simply saying, when you hear this false doctrine, amen, just remember that blessed anointing, that unction you get, amen, that didn't come from the world. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. You have been born again, washed by the blood, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Anointing which you received of him abideth in you. Need not any man teach you. But the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as he taught you, shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, and you shall appear. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Let me read a little more, John. All right. Amen. Yeah. Behold, believe not this, beloved. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, for they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Whereby I know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. What does Jehovah's Witness say? He was an angel. The Mormon, he was an angel. Amen. But every spirit, you know, there's a scripture back in Luke the 18th chapter, the 8th verse. Is that where it's at? Listen, if I can find it right here. Amen. Talking about that judge avenging those that cry to him day and night. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know what I see there? I see that he's telling us, you can't believe he was just a spirit. You got to believe he's actually born of the Virgin Mary, the Son of Man. Oh, yes, when I come, they'll be having faith in God. They'll be having faith in this. But yet, when I come, will they still believe that I was the one that's born and brought in this world and died? Hallelujah. Amen. You remember when Jesus got talking to those priests and they asked if he was the Son of God? You remember I quoted that to you the other day, amen, where he said, thou hast said, and let me just read that to you, all right? Amen. Like I said, I don't have any notes, so I just have to do the best I can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh, the Son of Man. Why did he call himself the Son of Man? I want you to know, I'm what you see, and I am what I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, see it when the Son of Man, hereafter shall the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. My, that tore him up. They crucified him because of that, huh? Hallelujah. But I'm talking to you about that three measures of meal. That may not mean anything, but here we are. Said, everybody know you, Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already in the world. One more time, I want to read to you. This is the record that God gave unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. There, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that he may have eternal, that you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he heareth us. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man sees, brother, go talk about that. Go down to 18 verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He that is begotten of God sinneth him, keepeth himself. That wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in dark wickedness. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Christ, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Hallelujah. Now look at the 12th verse. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the true God and eternal life. I'm telling you, he's deity. Yes. Hallelujah. I still believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Don't you? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Praise God. Yes. Don't let the world pass something off to you. Right. Amen. That takes your victory away. Right. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd like to have a songbook. If somebody just bring me a songbook, I'm through. Amen. I went a little over. Amen. Mom will be worried. Daddy will be 10 minutes late. Amen. Isn't that awful? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody come to the piano. Hallelujah. I know my voice ain't where I can lead song, but I want to. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Do we have that here? Thank you, sister. Is it my name is written there? What? Let me look. Did it wear you out, folks? No, that isn't it. Hallelujah. I hope I didn't wear you out. I tried to go fast to get it over with. Not because I had a long ways to go, but because I knew it's getting close to eating time. What? All right. Hallelujah. Thank you. 346? All right. I think I know it, but I need to find out what gear it's in. Hallelujah. All right. Let's try. We'll try G. Amen. What? Oh, okay. Well, hallelujah. All right. All right. Let's stand. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know my name. My name is written there.
my name, what stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his roll. I know my name is there. I know my name is written there. Go to see, amen. I didn't see that other flat. There's five flats there. Yet inward's trouble tough and cast a shadow o'er my title, but now with full salvation blessed, praise God, it's ever clear. I know my name is there. I know my name is written there. While others climb to worldly strife to carve a name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there. My name once stood for sinners lost and bore a shameful record, the bloody cross. Do you know it? If you're here and you don't know it, there's an altar here. Hallelujah. If you don't know it, the altar's here. Hallelujah. If you get a little cold, if you're down Jesus Christ and the power that's in his name, it's gonna be your altar's here. One more time. I know my name is there. Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be with these people, to worship with them, to hear the great preaching we've heard this week. Thank you, Lord, for this host church that put themselves out to be so kind to us. We ask you, Lord, to bless now. Keep your hand on this pastor, on this people. Keep your hand on those that are traveling, Lord. God, give us traveling grace, I pray. Hallelujah, Lord. And when you come again, may we meet old friends in there. Hallelujah. May we see them one more time. Amen. Going up to the streets of light. Hallelujah. Bless, Lord, and keep your hand on us and guide us and direct us, we pray. Hallelujah. Even bless the food today in Jesus' name. Amen. He didn't ask me to.
Oh, yeah, the truth, praise God. The last days will be of a great falling away, but it don't have to be us.
Hey, come on.
Wait a minute. Hallelujah. Time is of essence, you know, whatever that word means. Look it up sometime. I don't know. I want to read you something else.
Read it. All right.
Something I should have read. Lord, the devil almost cheated us there. Listen to this. Now, he talked about that, you know. Then he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And he said, again, the kingdom, now he gave us three examples. Now he gives us three results. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that's cast in the sea and gathered of every kind, which was full. They drew it to shore and sat down. Just took their time and gathered the good in the vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them in the furnace fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing teeth. Amen. That was what I wanted to close on. Amen. That it doesn't really matter. Amen. What the world does. We got a hope, amen. He found us. He paid the price for us. Whether we're many or few, he's glad we're his. Hallelujah. He paid the ultimate price because he'd found that treasure. On the land, he found the field. In the sea, he found them, amen. And it doesn't matter where you're at. When the time comes, amen, you'll be gathered with the good. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know why I didn't think to tell you that, but I wanted to tell you that because that other sounded so bad. Hallelujah. But to realize, like Brother Miller said, amen, God loves holiest people, I believe. I reason why I say that? Because of the way we shout and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's stand. Well, well, well.